we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. Today's going to be an interesting day. We had a guest speaker back on July the 8th, and when they spoke on this passage that I'm getting ready to share here on the radio today. We're going to be in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, Isaiah chapter 60. So I said, do you get WMIE in Louisiana? Because they were from Louisiana. They said, no, don't get it there. And during their sermon, they had said, you know, hey, Jesus said he is the light of the world. But in Matthew chapter 5, he says that we are the light of the world. And so they went on to talk about how we are supposed to be bearers of light to this community that God has chosen for us geographically and chronologically for us to be a bearer of light. And so I said, so you haven't heard what I've been teaching on for several weeks on the radio. And they said, no, haven't heard it. And it's like, well, this is what I have been sharing. And so we're going to look at that as a voice of confirmation. So my name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio program. And you might be listening on WWBC 1510 AM if you are listening at 10:30 of a morning. But even if you were in Louisiana and you wanted to listen to the program, you could log on to WMIEFM.com, go to their on-demand feature, type in the date you want, and you can be listening to the program there as well. So we just want you to know about the various opportunities and, you know, the means that by which you could listen to the radio program. So we are in our month of July. We're focusing on prayer on Wednesday nights. So we had our prayer meeting last night. We're looking to strategize and reposition and improve our ministries over the coming weeks and months. That's what we want to do. We want to be constantly improving. A friend of mine wrote an article, or didn't write an article, but he'd read an article, and he contacted some of us and said, hey, what's your understanding of this? And you know, I felt like the people who had written the article had just done their own interjection into what they thought was going on. My thing is, I think that the body of Christ is beginning to realize how important the spirit of unity is, how wonderful collaboration is, that we can come together and we can do some things better than what we've done them in the past. And so things that have turned people off because of shoddy craftsmanship, if you will, things that we've done, we've just said, oh, well, you know, that ought to be good enough for God, that now we're seeing, you know what, we're going to do this, and we're going to be the very best that we can be. We'll talk about some of that on tomorrow's program. But I pray that you and I are striving to get better day by day as a person that lights up our world for the glory of Jesus Christ. So if you got your Bible handy, I'm going to grab my glasses, turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to read several verses. Why don't we read all the way down to verse number 7, and then we'll drop down and read verses 19 and 20. Verse number 1 says this, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Drop down to verse number 19. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also, your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Now, if I were to mention verse number 22, there, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. I would ask you, how many of you would want that that reality in your life, where a small church, a little church has 1,000 people in it, and a small church is like a strong nation, and God makes it happen in its time? What if I told you that your quiver could be enlarged? What if I talked to you about those increases? What about the businesses that you own and the businesses that you run, that God could cause it to prosper and be in abundance? If I told you that that was a reality, many of you would say, "Yay, Lord, make it happen. Let's see this done. Let's see it come to pass. The time is at hand. Let's see that type of increase." But you don't get to verse number 22 until you've started at verse number 1. And if we want to see that sort of increase, that divine multiplication of influence, of fruitfulness, we have to realize, arise, shine, for your light has come. One of the things that the evangelist said that night was that this passage of Scripture is recognized as a messianic passage of Scripture, that its ultimate fulfillment is in the life of Jesus Christ, but there is also a level of fulfillment in your life and my life. The reality is, Jesus, the light of the world, has come. And because of that, and by the way, my Bible has an exclamation point there. That doesn't mean that the exclamation point is, a perfect thing. But, you know, for me, I when I see something like that, I want to get excited. For your light has come. You look at a bride on her wedding day, and when her day has come, she lights up. She is just as bright as she can be. And so, because Jesus, our light, has come, we are tasked with the privilege of arising and shining and reflecting that light. The Sunday that the evangelist was there, I was preaching a message out of Psalm 119 about God, revive me according to your word. God, revive me according to your word. Instead of clinging to dust, I want to cling to your word. And one of the things that I did was I described what the Bible has to say about the word of God, that it's living, that it's our life. You know, Jesus is the manifest word. It's a spiritual word, and must be spiritually discerned. And one of the things that I shared was that it was a commanding word, that there are things that, and one of the passages in Psalm 119 says, I run in the path of your commands. And because we have been given the Great Commission to go into all the world, we need to be running with that, not looking for an excuse why not to do it. It is something that we should be doing. When it says, make disciples, we should be doing that. And here, the command is for us to arise and shine. It's time that we shook off our slumber, cast off our complacency. We said, you know what? I'm not going to live in obscurity any longer. The light that has arisen in my life deserves to be seen by others as well. And so this coming week, my daughter will be going on a missions trip. Some of our kids will be going to camp from the church. And the entire purpose of that, the reason that we send kids to kids camp is so that when they come back, they will have been exposed to the light of the gospel, and they'll come back and they want to shine. And for those that go on missions trips, this is my daughter's second missions trip, I believe. She was involved in some ministry while she was in college, as well as since she was basically born at or since we came to a Merit Assembly of God when she was just a baby. There's been ministry, and so she is going, and she's saying, you know what? I want to shine. I want to shine where I'm at. I want to shine where I go, and you know, we're just thankful for the future that God has for her. But it is not a command that is exclusive to the pastors or the pastor's family or the Sunday school teachers. This is an imperative for the body of Christ, that you and I, if we want to see increase, we've got to quit waiting for the darkness to desire the light. We've got to let them see that there is a light that they can desire. So it says here, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord, listen to this, is risen upon you. And in verse number 2, it talks about, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Well, there's two things that it says, that the Bible says, will cover the earth. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And here it says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. And one of those is the will of God, and one of them is unacceptable to God. And it is unacceptable for this world to be covered in what is described here as deep darkness that blinds the people. That's unacceptable. So it says here, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. If the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, there's got to be a starting point. There's got to be a next step in the process. Sure, it could be all instantaneous, but God a lot of times uses a process to accomplish his will. And that process says, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Have you stopped to consider what a glorious privilege it is for you to be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, there are billions of people on planet Earth that have yet to hear the name Jesus Christ. And here we want to argue about stupid stuff in the kingdom, all the while there are people who are drowning in darkness, and day by day they are getting closer and closer and closer to an eternity without God. That is unacceptable. And so we need to quit waiting for something to happen that God said is already done. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So when we come to church, it ought to be an exciting an event. It ought to be something that says, yes, I am so glad that I get to go. I get to gather with believers. I was going to bring in an article that I read, but I don't see that article with me in my packet of information here today. So I'll have to share the details with you about it at a later time. But it said in that article, I'll just give you this one particular bullet point. It says that the one measurable way that they have found to increase your chances of living a long life is to be actively involved in a religious community. That means to be in the body of Christ. That's basically what that means. It says that those people who are actively in there, I'll share the statistics with you maybe next week, but that those people who are actively involved in a family of faith, they live considerably longer. Even if there are people who are involved in a civic organization, it still doesn't give them the benefit of a prolonged life the way being a member of the body of Christ does. Not a religious study. It was a news article that I found online, just going through the news, and bam, there it was. And like I said, I'll share that information with you. The glory of the Lord rising upon you is not just for our benefit. This world is so selfish that one of the things that it needs to see is selflessness, selflessly serving for the benefit of others. And that's what happens. It says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." You know, I remember somebody making a statement to me one time. I don't remember what the circumstances were, but they said, "You know, I have always found that lighting a match affected the darkness more than just me standing there cursing it." And I want you to know that God wants for you and I to realize the tremendous light of truth that God has placed inside of us and give us the mind of Christ and say, you know what? There is a way that we can bring light to this situation. How do we do it? Many people say, boy, it's dark in here, and they continue to sit in the darkness. I pray that God raises up the church in central Brevard County to say, you know what? If there's only one area of our community that is experiencing spiritual darkness, we're going to do what we can to bring light to that community. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, that if there was a person that was murdered in a community, they were supposed to go and investigate what had happened, and when they couldn't, if they couldn't identify who had killed the person, they were supposed to say, God, we have thoroughly investigated this. We have not been able to determine who did it. And so we're just asking you, God, to sanctify our land. They did not want one unsolved murder in their community to go without asking God for forgiveness for the land. They didn't want a very small stronghold of darkness taking root in their community. Don't let bitterness bring darkness into your spiritual life. Don't let ignorance, don't let a failure to hear the word of God, don't allow the enemy to bring disappointment, discouragement, or anything that is going to shroud you in darkness when God wants the light that he has already provided to be shining brightly in your life and in my life. It says, "But in deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Right now, there is in American politics a very dangerous trend, and that is where people who disagree with other people are doing things in a very public manner, trying to embarrass other people. Now, if you flip those roles around and the people that disagree with you turn around and want to start embarrassing you in public, that you're not going to feel nearly as happy about that as when you're the instigator. So what I wanted to share with about this is we, the church, we've got a life-changing message, but the enemy will still want to try and get us to suppress that message, to suppress the light. And it says, the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. I want to focus on that word, the Lord. The more we surrender to God's lordship, the more light is going to penetrate into our community, because God is going to arise to a higher and higher level of authority in our life, and therefore his wisdom is going to be manifest. His holiness is going to be clearly seen. The benefits of walking in covenant relationship with God are going to be manifest in your life and my life, just like we talk about in verse number 22. There will be exponential increase because I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. And in verse number 19 and 20, it talks about that there was going to be a continuous, unending manifestation of the light that comes from the Lord himself. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Where we get into trouble is where we try to circumvent his lordship. And we say, I got this. You don't think that happens? It happened in the New Testament. In one moment, Jesus is saying, blessed art thou, Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And a few verses later, Peter is saying, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. Peter would at times take Jesus aside and rebuke him. And Jesus would say, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, he had no problem recognizing when light was coming forth, and he had no problem speaking correction when darkness was coming through. We are not supposed to say, not so, Lord. Those two statements are paradoxical. Okay? He can't be Lord of Lords, and us telling him no at the same point in time. One negates the other. Either his lordship negates our denial of his will, or our refusal to obey negates his lordship over our life. Which do you want in your life? I can tell you this, the greater the dominion of his lordship in your life, in my life, in our church, in your church, in your business, whatever it might be, the more that his glory will be seen upon you. And it says in verse number 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Okay. Now there's a saying, moths are drawn to a flame. That's not what's being talked about here. It is what is being described here is people who have lived in darkness for so long. They've been held in the bondage of darkness for so very long that all of a sudden, when God has strategically placed a person of faith who says, the Jesus inside of me is glorious and he has called me here, he has placed me here to bring light to this community, so that you can see the reality of who Jesus is. The evangelist that we had was talking about a group of young men, and their simple prayer was this: where is the Lord God that we read about in the Bible? Where is the Lord God who did the signs and the wonders and the miracles? And all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord Jesus began to arise in that little group of young men. And now their community is seeing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They're seeing people who have been hostile to Jesus now surrendering to his lordship. I'm just going to wonder here for a moment out loud. I wonder what would happen to our evangelism efforts if we took a little bit of time, like we are at Merit Assembly of God this month, and we examined our hearts and lives and say, God, is there any area of darkness in me? Is there any area where I am undermining your lordship? Because God, I want your glory to be seen in my life. People will fixate on your flaws. That's what they do. You've got this hair out of place. Your collar's not fixed right. You got a piece of broccoli stuck in between your teeth. Don't believe me? Put a black dot on a piece of paper, just one, and a sheet of 8.5 by 11 paper, and hold the piece of paper up and say, hey, what do you see? And almost everybody will see, I see a black dot on a piece of paper, where 99.9% of the paper is actually a pure white piece of paper. They fixate on the flaws. And so if we want to shine better than we've ever have before and see greater influence with those who aren't like us, who are living in darkness, and God wants them to see who he is, say, God, would you be Lord even over the darkness in my life? And would you forgive me? Would you forgive me in any area that I have going on in my life where people are seeing impurities that I don't even see? You know, you can become blind to your own shortcomings. I tell people this all the time. I see my wife every day, and there are a lot of times where if I don't know she's going to get a haircut, I may not notice that she got a haircut for a couple of days, but there are people that I don't see. But once a week, they walk in and I say, oh, your hair is different this week. You know why? Because I haven't seen them. I've spent so much time with my wife that sometimes I become blind to some of the changes that are going on in her beautiful life. And that needs to change. Let's not be blind to our sin. Let's submit it to God, because our world desperately needs glory, not darkness. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
True.